Hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Amanda Blake from Embrite, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I'm speaking today to Gail Knight Coleman, who is a certified financial planner. And I know Gail because she participated in the Embrite Body Equals Brain course this year. And as we got to know each other, and as I started thinking about doing this gratitude program, I really saw that Gail had a lot to offer into this conversation, and I was so excited and delighted when she accepted my invitation to talk about these topics. So let me tell you a little bit about Gail. I know from our conversation she has a great deal of depth in both her orientation towards embodied learning as well as her orientation towards financial learning. She's a nationally recognized innovator in the field of integral wealth, and she's been practicing over 30 years in financial discipline, trained facilitation, and rigorous coaching. And she has certifications as long as your arm. I'm not going to tell you all of them. She's principal in Coleman Knight Advisory Group, LLC. And one of the things that Gail is really effective at is integrating practical results with inner values. So I'm really excited to talk to Gail today about how wealth is more than money and what role gratitude plays in bringing a feeling of being wealthy to the fore. And I don't just mean financially wealthy. I really mean a sense of life is rich and full and beautiful. And I think we're going to have a really interesting conversation about all of that today. So thank you so much, Gail, for joining me and for agreeing to be here. I'm really happy that we get to talk about this.
Oh, thank you, Mandy. I am thrilled to be here with you, and this is truly one of my favorite topics.
Wonderful. Well, can we start, I think, by you telling me a little bit about what your story has been with gratitude. And that might sound like a weird question, but I think what I'm really curious about is, it sounds to me like you're very deliberate in some ways about how you approach gratitude in your life and with the clients you work with. And I'm curious how you came to that, if that's even true. So just tell me a little about the history or your story of this aspect of life.
Yeah, I would say that what you're expressing is true. There is a deliberate way of viewing the world and being in situations where I'll ask, what can I appreciate about this? And appreciation is something that I learned probably beginning 15 years ago in my study with Gay and Kathleen Hendricks at the Hendricks Institute. Katie offered us in many of our trainings the drama triangle, which is a version of the Cartman triangle of victim, villain, and hero. And the triangle is interesting, but not as interesting as what it takes to shift off of it. And there are a number of things that we can do to shift. And one of them is move. One of them is breathe. And another shift move is appreciation. And in my development, I found that appreciation was the easiest. And while appreciation isn't specifically, embodied gratitude, I've found that appreciation is the opening that allows me and now allows my clients to actually begin to see and experience gratitude for whatever's happening. So I'd say that that's probably the place that gratitude began for me in a way. And There is an intention I have to really be appreciative in any situation, and even situations that aren't so pleasant or challenging, it's like if I can pause and simply appreciate, you know, the situation or the person, something else happens. And it's profound. Spontaneous kinds of gratitude then begin to happen as well. And they're just kind of this surprise. So does that give you a sense?
Yeah, it does, and I would love for you to contextualize it a little bit, like if you could say a little bit more about this triangle and why it would be important to create a shift, and maybe like if you had a story, if you don't, that's okay, but I'm really curious to hear, like if there was ever a moment for you where you went, oh, this appreciation thing really shifts me out of this dynamic that isn't working, and here's how that happened. I'd love to hear that if there's something like that. So a little more context and color would be great.
Sure. So first let me explain the drama triangle, because we've all been on it, basically. It's a place where our personalities will get stuck in either being a victim, a villain, or a hero. And it's some of us who are not really looking at developing in our life could stay on the triangle our entire life. But the way we, you know, shift off of being stuck on saying a victim is to really, you know, shift in a way we get to see something in a different way. And my training is a somatic training, is in the body, because when we bring our body into a situation, we're tapping many more neurons and enabling our wisdom, our body intelligence, to assist us in shifting. So that's a little bit more about the drama triangle. But I would say that I'm very familiar with each of those places of being a victim, a villain, or a hero. And so in a story I could share would be probably, let me just bring any number of situations with my beloved who I adore, yet that has sometimes caused me, you know, I would say caused me great opportunities to grow, meaning he will trigger me and I could
That's
be
great.
Sitting on, you know, the victim. Oh, you always do this to me. You know, and if I pause in that moment and I say, wait a minute, this is an opportunity for me to actually grow. And if I look at him and I say, wow, I so appreciate you triggering me, because if it weren't for your trigger, if it weren't for you being who you are, I wouldn't be able to see this and grow. So that still happens. I'm not drama triangle free, but I certainly am not staying on the triangle long. So, and that appreciation, let me just keep going with this thread. So that appreciation allows me to see something inside of me that wants to be touched, healed, released, whatever you want to call it. And I become freer, happier, I feel more spacious. And from that, gratitude emerges. It's just like, wow, I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful for this other being who has chosen to be with me in this life. So that's kind of the opening, and then it continues and continues. And then I get this generous feeling of warmth and gratitude for having this person in my life. And as I'm expressing this to you, I notice my body right now is like doing shimmers, because and I know what I'm saying is true.
I number one, have this huge smile on my face, because we all have this with our partners, right? We love them, they trigger us. What are you doing? Why are you doing that again? And so this is such a beautiful, beautiful way to step out of that very natural and also habitual response that we develop to one another. And I would say true not just with partners, but with parents and with children and anyone with whom you have a close relationship. That seems like an incredibly valuable stance to take. And I'm so glad you were going to say something there. Let me just say this. I'm so glad you mentioned the body because I want to go there next. So go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, and I have two children who are in their early 20s, you know, in college, finishing college, and they are also my, you know, most precious teachers, and I appreciate them so much for what they offer. So, yes, it's any relationship, and that's all I wanted to add. It's like they're right there, a close second and third behind my spouse. So thank you.
Yeah. You said as you were feeling this sense of appreciation in the moment that your body felt shimmers, which is such a gorgeous word. And I'd love to hear you and explore with you what your observations have been, both in your own experience of gratitude and appreciation, as well as watching your clients. Like, are there patterns that come up, physical embodied patterns around this drama triangle, or patterns that you see around appreciation, and what role does the body play in this whole area of life?
Yeah, big question. It's a great question, and there's like different pieces that I would like to kind of isolate, because it's the answer is yes, and I notice that when we bring up the body and money, they're typically quite separate, and so this is an area of my life that I'm really exploring and building some practical tools, and for anyone who's in a human body to be able to experience money in a different way. Because what I've discovered is that money is really tethered closely to fear. So when I've worked with, you know, hundreds and thousands of clients, money is basically this interesting contractor. And you know, we're, none of us are escape it. We're all weird about money. It's what's part of our modern world. And so fear is really just the energy of, you know, around, that is held in some limiting beliefs around scarcity, you know, enough, safety. And, you know, so when we're scared, our body contracts. I'll say it that way. And when we are able to access our body, and particularly our belly, because that's where I've experienced that fear resides, bring some gentle breath or space, then we can begin to experience money in a different way. Now, what I'm saying might sound a little weird to some people, but when we talk about appreciation and generosity and gratitude, what I've noticed is that when we can tap into some of those limiting beliefs and recognize them as limiting beliefs, then there's a little bit more space that arises, and a little bit more insight, and a little bit more recognition that, oh, wait, I really do have enough. I really can feel that. And then, oh, wow, I really appreciate that I've created this in my life. Then there is a place where gratitude can become the, I'd say, the foundation of someone's experience with their wealth. Money is part of that, but also their health, their relationships, their human capital, meaning their capacity to work and be generative. And then from there, generosity actually begins to expand. It's kind of generosity expands, and then it's kind of like this cycle of giving and receiving. When I've experienced this for myself, but I know other clients have said it as well, that, you know, eventually in our life, is the gift and the receiver and the giver are all the same. Like, we get to actually experience that place of, oh wow, when I feel sufficient, when I've moved from this place of scarcity to sufficiency to generosity, I'm really recognizing that, you know, none of this that I supposedly own or have is mine. It's like all of this gets to move in the world, and I'm going to pause here because I think I don't know what I've said, but I've said a lot, and then there's something else that was coming up, but I wanted to give you a chance to respond because I feel like a fire hose.
Well, there's so much to talk about here, and what's coming up for me as you're speaking is a little bit of what we were talking about before we got on this call, which was, and what we did in preparation, which was my inspiration for this program, which was really emerged out of my, you know, I told you I've had this gratitude practice very deliberately on and off through the years, and at various points it has impacted my life or just been something that I'm doing that I think is useful and valuable to do. And that would often look like, at the end of the day, asking my sweetheart, what are three things you're grateful for? And we would each say something aloud. Or at the end of the day, writing down as many things I could think of as I was grateful for during the day. Or it wasn't always at the end of the day. But those are some examples of things that I had done in the past. And this summer for me, I just stepped into this much deeper embodiment of gratitude, so that everywhere I would get in the car and I would be like, wow, the car just turns on and takes me places. And somebody built this road that I'm driving on. And I was just like suffused and overwhelmed with this sense of gratitude. And I had, as you were describing, this experience of a desire for that receiving to overflow. And that was really the genesis of this program. It's like, I want to do this in community with others and share this deep experience of appreciation so that we can all have this. And in that experience, I had the aha that you're speaking about, which is, oh my goodness, there's no other here. There's no I'm giving something to you. It's just, I don't even know if I can describe it really, but I had this feeling of just a deeper experience of how giving and receiving is a very natural flow of life, and that there wasn't any loss to me in giving. It was just almost like giving to another part of myself. So that's what's being inspired for me right now by what you're saying. And you can feel free to respond to that or go on to what you wanted to say or
I have this Cheshire grin on my face just listening to you and appreciating what you're saying about your direct experience and your embodied experience. I have a similar shift in what you were describing in the beginning of having a gratitude practice of, you know, there's, I think you might remember the gratitude journals that came out. They were pretty popular, I don't know how many years ago, but so I did that, and it certainly felt good. I mean, I felt like I was appreciating life, but it wasn't, it did not come from an embodied place. And several years ago, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I was studying with one of my teachers, Reggie Ray, I've studied with him for probably over 10, 12 years and starting with meditating with the body. And he offered a Tong Len practice. Tong Len is a Buddhist practice of giving and receiving. So you can, you take the suffering of someone else and you bring it in to yourself. And so it's a wonderful practice. And I knew that when I was doing it, it was very mental. I was just kind of conceptually thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, I'm doing something good. It was really, it didn't touch me, and I knew it, but I kind of thought that was how you did it, and in fact, that is how it is described often. But at this time, Reggie brought the practice into our heart. And it called a seven-limb bodhicitta practice, and it was very somatically based, so that we were tapping into the indestructible essence located in our heart, and actually offering Tong Len, or a giving and receiving from that place. And that was the opening for me to actually have a more embodied gratitude practice, because I actually would feel in my heart and in my whole body the experience of giving and receiving. And so the depth of gratitude, it has no boundaries. I mean, I can, I look outside and I'll see a leaf and go, wow. I mean, and nature is so easy. I'd say that's where, I mean, whether I'm walking in the woods or, at the beach looking at the ocean or the full moon or whatever, that's where it there's this spontaneous arising of, my God, can you believe that we get to exist in this sacred world? So I resonate with you on the difference between beautiful practices of, building gratitude, but then actually bringing the body in, really bringing the soma in to that experience, and the exponential shift that occurs when we come from our whole being.
When we were talking earlier, you mentioned something about stages and going through these stages of gratitude. And I don't know if that's something that was just a passing comment or that you actually have some sort of model or thinking around. But I'm very curious to hear your perspective on what are these stages? Like, what's happening there for me when I went from I'm writing it down, and sometimes it makes me appreciate things to do that to this deeper, more embodied state. Here's what I think my question really is, can you describe those stages, and do you have any pointers for people at each of those various stages about how they can deepen?
Yeah. So somewhere I learned along the line, I don't know where I heard this or read it, but I'll just say it's somewhere and you can Google it. But there's five stages of learning, which is, you hear something, you review it or study it, and then you understand it. And those three stages are very cognitive based. And most often, we get to a place of understanding and we think, oh, okay, I've got it. So you can get stuck in that third stage of learning. But we really want to be learning as human beings to embodiment, because we have these beautiful bodies that support us in our human experience. So the fourth stage is practice, and the fifth stage is embodiment. And if we take that, those five stages of learning, and we plop it on to, say, embodied gratitude, you know, for example, anyone listening to this conversation is going to hear this and perhaps review it, and they're going to understand it. But unless they go from this experience of hearing, this cognition of, you know, the whatever the cognitive act, unless they go and actually practice, so start writing a gratitude journal, or intentionally appreciating an experience or two each day, they're not going to be able to open up the gateway to what that body experience is going to feel like. And so appreciation is, in my view, the best practice. It's, you know, set an intention and write it down on a piece of paper and paste it everywhere and say, I commit to deeply appreciating life or every experience. And then allow yourself to appreciate. And that builds an appreciation muscle. And then appreciation really opens up a whole different kind of space of recognizing and sensing an experience in our body that, wow, I feel happier. Joy is something that I notice more and more. I'm smiling more. I taste food, and I really appreciate this sauce. I mean, you know, it's like senses begin to open up, and you have these direct experiences with your body, hearing beautiful music, whatever it is, and then these experiences that tap our body senses and body wisdom open up to that space of embodied gratitude. I'm making this up as I'm talking to you, because I don't really have a stage model for gratitude, but I would say that that might be a place to start.
Well, I love it, and I'm so excited. So the way I heard you describe that is there's sort of these three stages. Three to five stages, right? In my mind, I was calling them exposure, study, understanding. Did I get that close?
Yeah.
The cognitive part. So like exposure, study, understanding, and then practice, and then embodiment. And I love what you offer here, which is like have an appreciation practice, but not just any appreciation practice, an appreciation practice that's tied to your sensory experience, which I had never thought of doing, but I think there is something about like, what am I tasting? What am I, what am I feeling? Like this blanket is soft, and I appreciate that. Or, you know, it's a warm day, and I appreciate that. Something even more sensory of how does the food taste than cognitive, and that could be a very powerful way to start to embody a sense of appreciation and a sense of gratitude more and more. I'm really excited Go.
Well, appreciating our body so I want to go back to say fear. You know, if we have this idea, this concept that we're scared, but we let go of the idea of fear and we just simply feel the energy in our body, feel the movement, feel as you taught me so beautifully, temperature and pressure and movement, then it's like the emotions and stories that we've got that are stuck in our body, and this is how, you know, I use fear is in the work I do with money, then that also begins to shift. And so our every experience that we have in our body where it typically would get constricted and start us down a path of creating this story or getting agitated, we can actually appreciate everything that happens to us within us, inside and outside of us. So this, to me, this is kind of the piece de resistance. I mean, to have an experience in our body that normally would grip us, that we would label as something that's wrong, but simply be like, oh, wow, I'm so grateful I have a body that can feel this. I'm so grateful to be able to cry or feel that tension of say, anger that really shows me that I care. So that, I think that's what's also this opens up to. I just, that came up and I just wanted to chime in.
Well, I love it. You know, what you said earlier about the money is the great contractor or a great contractor, that really stayed with me. And I think there's something very true about that. And it makes me very excited for the work that you're doing and developing in this new field of somatic finance. Because I think you're right that what we all have in common around money is everybody has something that grips them or grabs them or gives them some discomfort around money. And that, to me, suggests that the financial area of life can be a great, great teacher in how to move from that experience of fear, contraction, negativity, judgment, whatever it may be, into appreciation and more love. And oh my gosh, if we can do that around money, what else might be possible? You know, like, and so it just strikes me like what a very powerful and effective place to work. And I'm just imagining right now that the individuals and couples that you work with probably go on to, I mean, I'm making this up, but very curious, like, does the work you do also have impact on other areas of their lives? Do they start to learn how to apply the shift from a fear to appreciation in other areas of their lives as well?
I would say ideally, yes. And really, some clients, yes. They're open and it their lives just incredibly blossom. And other clients, we meet them where they are. They still might be scared. And I'm just being completely honest. They're like, Gail, I know you're saying something to us, but that's just too frightening to me. And mm-hmm. So I'd say that this isn't this is kind of what I'm expressing and what we bring to an offer to clients is really new, particularly around, I mean, the body awareness is new, but it's not so new, but anything related to money and the body is kind of bleeding edge. So I'm treading lightly. I mean, as we're talking, I notice I've got both excitement and a little bit of trepidation. It's like, because it's radical. I mean, we can, if we can begin to this pathway, I'll say, this journey of moving from scarcity to sufficiency to manifesting generosity, I mean, that's my 500-year plan. And I and this is weird, I'll just say that my father just sent me a letter, and I haven't had any conversations with him about this, but he said, you know, honey, you don't need to worry about the world 500 years from now. And then he said something like, you know, the planet may be better off without us, without human beings. And I don't know, you know, he's 87 years old, and you know, so he's near the end of his life. But I read that, and I was like, no, you're wrong. And I actually started crying because I don't think human beings are worthless. I do think we have something of value, and I hope that we can begin to manifest generosity, because I think that's what our planet needs. It's what we need to.
Hear, hear. Well, in that spirit, you know, we talked earlier about how gratitude can, when it starts to swell, it sort of overflows into a feeling of generosity. And I'm curious if there's anywhere that you would like to, or any way, it doesn't have to be a particular place, but it could be, maybe it's practice, that you would invite listeners to allow their gratitude to swell and overflow into that generosity. Any ideas about that?
Oh, yes. Let me lead you in a simple 2-3 minute practice and bringing us to our heart. And
I'd
invite
that.
You to, you can sit or stand. I'm standing. And bring your left hand to your heart, and then bring your right hand on top of your left. And simply take a gentle breath underneath your hand into your heart. And this is bringing your attention and your awareness to your heart center. And allow your breath to support your attention. And you don't need to change it in any way. Just simply allow your breath to expand and contract right in your heart. And set an intention that your presence and your attention in your heart is igniting your generosity, however it wants to be expressed. And with each breath, each place of movement, notice how this area in your body might change. So what I'm experiencing is a really sweet feeling of warmth and openness. And the word delight is coming to mind. And if you feel that expansion, I invite you to simply open your arms out to each side with your palms up and allow the energy that's moving in your heart to flow out through your arms, out through your wrists, your hands, and your fingertips. As an expression of your unique and precious generosity. And this is a simple gratitude.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Gail. What a gift. That you can hear, that made me really quiet inside and really left me with a feeling of hopefulness, optimism, and a real desire to let all the gifts that I've been given overflow and spill into the world in whatever way serves others. That's really good. Thank you.
Well, thank you. This is a feeling of the gift, the giver, and the receiver all being the same.
Yeah. Oh, what a beautiful conversation. I don't want to end here, but we're going to. Because we have to end at some point. And we don't have to end permanently. So certainly we'll continue this conversation, you and I. I hope that people listening will chime in with their comments where possible and appropriate. And I just really want to thank you and appreciate you for the gift you've given all of us in this exploration. I feel really just deeply touched. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I so appreciate you, Mandy, for your experience and you following your inspiration to bring this forward to listeners and people beyond. This is totally my favorite part of the day, the week, probably the month, who knows, maybe the year. So it's, that's one of the things we do. What was your favorite part of the day? What was your least favorite part of the day? So thank you. It's been a delight to be here. I feel joy bubbles everywhere.
Joy bubbles. Hooray. I love it. If people want to learn more from you or find out more about you, where should they go to learn more?
They can go to one or both of my websites, GailColeman.com, so GailColeman, or ColemanKnight.com, with ColemanKnight.
Great. I'll put both of those in the notes as well so people can find you. And thank you again. I'm just really excited that we got to have this conversation. So here's to more community celebrations of gratitude and generosity and your 500-year vision, which is so, so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.